Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode all throughout the call. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. If you need assistance during the call, you may dial star and then zero. Now I will turn the meeting over to your host, Marquis Flannery. You may now begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the call today, even though it's an hour later than our usual time. Before I start, I wanted to mention that there's only a couple of questions that have been submitted so far. So if anyone has questions they would like to submit, please go ahead and do so now while I'm giving my my remarks. Thank you. So first, I want to start by wishing everyone a very happy new year. After the many difficulties of 2020, I think we can all look forward to better times in the year ahead. In fact, we already have some good news to share, which is that we finally received word that it's very likely that we're going to be getting our first delivery of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine later this week. So this week, our scheduling team has started scheduling our first vaccinations of the NSNY staff, and if it arrives on time, as we expect it will, we will be vaccinating very shortly. We'll be reaching out to individual staff members to schedule your vaccine shots, so please wait for that outreach. We may ask some staff to email in and let us know if they're interested, and that way we can reach out to you directly. When we schedule your first vaccination, we'll also schedule you at that time for your second vaccination, which will be administered 28 days after your first dose. Both vaccine doses will be given at 220 East 42nd Street. The Department of Health requires that both shots be given to people in the same location, and for various logistical reasons, 220 is the best and safest place to do this. We'll be sending out reminders about your vaccine schedule, so it's very important that we have your correct phone and email information. Due to the limited supply of vaccine, the New York State Department of Health and New York City Bureau of Immunizations have also asked all healthcare organizations to prioritize staff for vaccination. With that in mind, while we are scheduling many of our staff, we'll be offering first to patient-facing staff who work in skilled nursing, long-term care facilities, and both partisan care and hospice staff who work long-hour assignments in individual patients' homes. We do not yet know exactly how many doses we will be receiving in our first shipments, and it's important that when you are scheduled to receive, you show up on time for your appointment and bring your VNSNY or partisan care ID card and a form of government ID with you. Your ID will be checked in the lobby at 220, and then you'll be sent to the third floor where you'll fill out some paperwork and be administered the vaccine. Once you get your vaccine, we're going to ask you to wait in an observation area for about 15 to 30 minutes to make sure you have no reaction to the vaccine. And after that, you'll be free to leave. In all, you should plan to be here for about an hour for the entire process. On another important note is that if you're a field staff member, you may receive an email asking if you'd like to go to an end-of-the-day wait list to receive vaccine. Because every vial of vaccine comes with 10 doses, and because each vial has to be used within 6 hours after it's taken out of the refrigerator, it's likely that we'll have some extra doses of vaccine available to administer when we're done with scheduled vaccinations for the day. If you agree to be on the wait list and we have extra vaccine, and if you can get to our 42nd Street location within an hour of receiving a call, you may be able to receive vaccine on the end of that day. As Andrea has said on her vaccine conference call yesterday, it's like being on standby at the airport on the chance that a seat may open up for a flight. We'll be sharing more information about this as the vaccination process moves forward, so please stay tuned. Finally, I'd like to remind everyone that getting the COVID vaccine is voluntary, but I hope that you'll all choose to be vaccinated when your turn comes. The Moderna vaccine has been shown to be very safe and very effective at preventing illness from COVID-19, and we really want our entire staff to be protected. I can tell you that once the vaccine becomes available to non-frontline staff, I absolutely plan to get vaccinated myself. For more information on the vaccine, visit our Vaccinate VNSNY site on the VNSNY intranet, or go to the COVID-19 vaccine page of the Partners in Care Resource Center. You'll find a lot of good FAQs and other materials there about the Moderna vaccine safety profile and efficacy. While it's very exciting that the COVID vaccines are becoming available, it's also extremely important that we all continue to take every precaution to avoid exposure to COVID-19 and the coronavirus. As of Sunday, the positive COVID-19 test rate in New York State is now over 8%, and more than 8,000 people are hospitalized with COVID statewide. So, to our field staff, please be vigilant about following all COVID protocols. And for the rest of us, please continue to practice social distancing, wearing a face mask in public, and washing your hands. Also, this week and next week's schedule for where you can get a rapid COVID test at our frontline offices is now posted on the intranet and on the Frontline Partners in Care Resource Center. So please consider getting tested as well to be on the safe side. Since this is the time for New Year's resolutions, I want to mention some of the self-care programs that are available to staff members. Starting next week, we will be spreading out our virtual meditation sessions for staff. So instead of 4 sessions every Wednesday, there will now be meditation sessions every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday around lunchtime, plus Wednesday at 5 p.m. to the end of the day. All sessions are on Zoom, so keep an eye out for email alerts with the times and links. Meditation is a terrific way to de-stress, particularly during these very stressful times. So I hope some of you are able to take advantage of this great program. Also, on January 13th, there'll be a lunchtime Mindful Arts workshop offered on Zoom. It's a fun introduction to the Open Art Studio method of art therapy, designed to help you tap into your own creative potential and resilience. And finally, starting January 19th, we'll be offering a series of 7 cardio classes via Zoom on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 to get your blood pumping after the workday. Again, watch for those emails on how to join these activities. We also have our usual 2 emotional support calls for home health aides this week, one at noon today and the other at 1 p.m. on Thursday, plus our support Zoom open for all staff, which is this Thursday at 10:15 a.m. Our next support Zoom for staff recovering from COVID-19 will be next Tuesday, January 12th at 4:30 p.m., and our parent support group will take place this Thursday at 4 p.m. As always, information on how to join all of these calls and Zooms is posted on the intranet and on the Partners in Care Resource Center. So that concludes my update, and now I'm going to turn to questions that were sent in to the conference call email box. So the first question on N95 replacement frequency and availability. How frequently is the N95 mask replacement recommended? What is the process for frontline staff to obtain new N95 masks? Also interested in knowing whether we are currently receiving supplies from the state or federal authorities. And what is our current stock of N95 masks look like? So, Tony, perhaps you can provide information on the mask replacement recommendations. And then, Michael, maybe you can update on supply questions. Tony?
Great. Good morning, Marky. It's Tony Dawson, Vice President for Quality and Customer Experience. So your N95 mask, you should be able to pick up an N95 mask at the regional distribution centers. And you can pick that up, you should be able to pick that up and then pick one up if your N95 mask is soiled and are no longer usable. But we're asking you to reuse that N95 mask as we all always have since we started this. So please reuse your mask unless it becomes soiled and are non-usable, and you can pick those up at the distribution center. Thank you.
And hi, this is Michael Bernstein, Chief Experience Officer. And with respect to the inventory, our objective is to keep a 90-day inventory of N95s as well as all the other PPE supplies. And we're achieving that right now. So 90-day supply, we purchase our N95s from reputable sources that are NIOSH approved N95 masks. We're using that route as opposed to state or federal authorities at this point in time. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Next question. There's actually two parts to this. The first is to please tell the partners in care policymakers to make employee handbooks available to new and existing employees in a digital format. I came to the office to get a copy like you suggested on the support calls, and the person had no idea they were supposed to be giving them out by request along with supplies, so I didn't get one. Told there were none. Not the first time a policy came into being, and the points of contact for us aides have no idea what's going on. So I'm going to answer that question first, and then I'll go to the second part. So the employee handbook is handed out to all new employees at orientation. And unfortunately, it's a paper document. I know they are working on creating a digital format, but that doesn't exist today, which is why you're not able to get a digital format. I'm surprised that if you came in and you're an existing employee and wanted a copy that you couldn't get one. So we will be, Marion, can you please reinforce with the Partners in Care HR team to make orientation manuals available for staff?
Yes, I will, Marky. Hi, everybody. It's Marion Haas from Human Resources, and I will make sure that this employee who sent the request in is mailed a hard copy to her home. Sorry for the coming in and not being able to receive one.
Good. Now, the next one is a tip. So the tip for those plagued by fogged-up goggles and safety glasses. Clean and dry them, then apply a thin layer of liquid soap and wipe dry. May have to do the outside part too. So apparently that should help the fogginess. So thank you for sharing that tip with us. Next question. After getting the vaccine for COVID-19, am I to social distance from household members as I can be contagious and for how long? Andrea, would you like to take the lead on these questions? Okay.
Sure, Marky. I can address this question. So the COVID-19 vaccine is not a live vaccine. So you will not get COVID-19 from the vaccine. It is not possible. You do not need to social distance from your household members, and you will not be contagious. Saying that, you should still follow all the safety protocols when you go outside your house that you have followed, masking, social distancing, using the right PPE, et cetera. So again, this is not a live vaccine. You cannot get COVID-19 if you get from the vaccine itself, and you don't need to social distance from your household members. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. Next question. Is it more likely employees will return to the office in spring 2021 or fall 2022. So we don't have a definitive date yet. As I mentioned in my comments, with the current infection rate at about 8%, we are being conservative in having people return to the office. Once the vaccine becomes much more widely distributed, I think we'll be in a position to make decisions about staff returning to the office, and we'll have a better sense of what the office layout will need to look like in a vaccinated world. So I don't have an answer, but we will give an answer once we have more information. Next question. I'm hearing half dose for each injection. Is this what is happening? So I believe the answer is no, but Andrea, I'm going to turn it back to you again.
Yes, that's correct, Marky. I can answer this question. The answer to this question is no, we are not giving half doses of vaccine. There was some information out in the press that this might become a recommendation in the future. This is not what is happening. Everyone is getting a full dose of vaccine. The same person who asked this question asked what the dose was, and the dose of the Moderna vaccine is 0.5 milliliters, so it is the full dose. We are not giving half doses of vaccine. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. Next question. For those who already had COVID-19 illness, how long do we wait for the vaccine due to immunity status. Back to you, Andrea. I think it's there's no wait. Is that correct?
Well, I'm going to see if Tony wants to answer this question. The guidance on this seems to be changing a little bit. Tony, do you have the latest on this?
So the latest on that right now, Andrea, is that you could still continue to get the vaccine despite your immunity status. So we will monitor this closely as we continue to monitor all of our information on the vaccine. But for now, you would continue to get the vaccine as normal. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. Can the COVID vaccine be taken on an empty stomach, or do we have to eat before taking it? Andrea?
That's a great question. That's a great question. There is no guidance about having food before you take the vaccine. So I suppose you could take it on an empty stomach. There's absolutely no guidance or direction on this. So if you want to take it on an empty stomach, you can.
Thank you. Next one has a couple of parts to it. Will staff be available to receive COVID vaccine where and when? So I'm not sure I understand the question. We are administering the COVID vaccine here at our 220 East 42nd Street location. You will have an appointment either directly scheduled or via a wait list to be able to come in and get the vaccine. So you will know when to come. And that's when you'll get the vaccine. Then there's a second part. Could these meetings start at 8:30? It's hard to stop what you're doing in the field and plan meeting. So I'm assuming that relates to these conference calls. And there really is no good time. We've gotten feedback that 8:30 in the morning is challenging for staff because they need to get out and make visits. So we will do the best we can. Again, if you miss the call because it's not a good time, that information is, the transcript is still posted on Frontline for you to be able to review, including all of the questions. Next, can you talk about the New York City Earned Safe and Sick Time Act and how it will affect our current PTO as we currently use all paid time off from one bucket? So, Marion, can you answer this question? And this is a VNSNY choice employee that's asking the question.
Thank you, Marky, and thanks for the question. Yes, there were some changes to the law in connection with earned safe and sick time. For VNSNY employees who have a one PTO bank, as this individual does, it does not change any of our policies and practices for your use of that time. The amount of PTO that you have provided is greater than what the requirements are under the Earned Safe and Sick Time Law. So although we track the use of time in connection with the benefits that are provided under the Earned Safe and Sick Time Act, it doesn't change the way that you'll be reporting or using your PTO time out of one bank going forward. There was an announcement that was sent out recently in connection with the change of in the law, and you might refer to that or the policy that's posted on HR Connect for any further details. Thanks for the question.
Thank you. Next question. Will vaccines be available at the Bulova building? So, unfortunately, we need to use the vaccine where it is delivered, and it's delivered here. And we are planning from a logistical standpoint. There are lots of moving parts in getting the vaccine administered. So we are planning to conduct the vaccinations here at our 220 East 42nd Street location. We needed a large open area, which we have here. Andrea, do you want to talk a little bit more about why we are doing it here?
Sure, Marky. So there's many reasons why we're planning our vaccination effort at the 220 East 42nd Street. First of all, we can handle a lot of people during a given day, which is what we want to do. Our goal is to vaccinate as many people as we can each day. The handling of the vaccine is complex, and we want to make sure from a quality perspective that we're doing it correctly every single time for every single person, and we feel like we can better control the quality of how we have to handle the vaccine at the 220 site. And then finally, the logistics that Marky talked about in her opening comments, each vial has 10 doses. Once you take it out of the refrigerator, you have to use all the doses, and managing the vaccine at the end of the day so we don't waste vaccine is really important, and we can only really manage that centrally in one location. So those are some of, there's others, but many of the reasons why for now we're choosing to centralize our vaccination efforts.
Thank you, Marky. So those were all the questions, but I've actually wanted to go back to one of the questions from last week. There was a number of questions related to the parking passes. So you may remember that we did receive notification that the parking passes that you currently have been extended through the end of June of 2021. We did not receive new replacements, so it's the same parking pass. And we did not get additional parking passes. So what we have is what we have. There were questions about whether or not you needed to post the parking pass and the PDF in the windshield, and there were instructions as well about where you can and cannot park. So Dan Lowenstein, who is our Vice President for Government Affairs and has really taken the lead to make sure that these parking passes became available to us and renewed, and he continues to lobby to get them extended and made permanent, happens to be on the call with us today. And Dan, would you like to speak to how these parking passes are to be utilized?
Sure. Thank you, Marky. First of all, if you look at FAQ 46 from the December 31st call, there's a lot of good information there about the passes, including links to the parking privileges. There are very specific where people can park and where they can't park. There have been several instances where staff have gotten tickets, but it's for parking in places that were not allowed. We do ask that if you do get a ticket, there's ways to dispute that ticket and also to let government affairs know so that we can track them as well. This is a very important privilege that we have. We want to make sure that we can maintain it through next year and beyond there. And I think our ability to use these effectively and will help in our advocacy for extending these permanently.
Thank you very much for that, Dan. So next question, another one came in. So this is someone asking on behalf of a home health aide. I'm not sure I understand the question. I'm going to read it and see if we can answer it for you. Why do home health aides have to service patients when they're tested positive against home health aides who must quarantine when traveled, come into contact with an infected person? Home health aide is concerned of being infected despite using the COVID kit, more so going home to her grandkids. I'm not sure I fully understand the question. Andrea or Tony, do you understand the question?
I don't, Marky. Maybe what we can do, it sounds like a very specific concern. Maybe what we can do is have somebody get back to this individual with this very specific question. It's difficult to understand.
Or the person could call the CERT line, and the CERT team can help them with this question and walk them through this.
Thank you. There's another question. I encountered a Partners in Care home health aide on a COVID positive case yesterday. The aide claimed she was not informed regarding the COVID positive status of the patient and was not provided appropriate PPE. So all aides have been provided appropriate PPE and are being asked on every visit to wear the appropriate PPE they should have been told that the patient was positive COVID so that they would have known to use an N95. Tony, can you speak to this?
You're absolutely right, Marky. So if the patient is positive, then the home health aide is told that the patient is positive. So again, I think we just need to follow up on the details specifically for this patient. If we could have that detail, we can follow through with the partners in care side and also with the manager. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So someone sent in a clarity email on the parking passes. The passes are valid 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. However, we are instructing staff to only use them to see patients. So the purpose of getting the passes for us was so that staff have the ability to see patients and not challenged with trying to find a place to park. If the city finds out that our staff are using these parking passes to go to social gatherings and private events and parking in areas and using them for their personal benefit, we run the risk that they will not renew these parking passes for us in the future. So while they are valid, they should only be used for business purposes. And we do have some staff that work into the evening and during the night, so those passes are necessary for them. But for staff that are only working during regular business hours, you should not be using the pass to find the parking space. Am I correct about that, Sam?
That's absolutely correct. Thank you, Margie.
Okay. So it is now 11:57. That was the last of the questions that were submitted. We got one more. I know you can still get the vaccine, but after recovering from COVID-19, how long does one wait to receive the vaccine? So this question was already answered. You do not need to wait once you have recovered from COVID-19. You are able to receive the vaccine. So just to clarify. We are hopeful that staff will take advantage of the vaccine as it is becoming available for our workforce. So hopefully we will get staff to take it and we'll see some positive response very quickly. So with that, I'm going to one more. Is there a way as a last-minute leftover vaccine to be given to a non-patient-facing employee who lives near 220 to be put on the list for an alternative for wasting the vaccine? Not trying to jump the line, just trying to be efficient. So this is a really an excellent question, and we've asked this question. And the problem is you run the risk that people will be starting to give vaccine to non-priority groups. And the state has already indicated that if an organization gives a vaccine to anyone who is not in a priority group, they run the risk of losing all future vaccine and getting fined and losing their license to operate. So while we would hate to waste vaccine, the guidance is very clear that we are not able to give vaccine to non-patient-facing employees at this time. So, again, thank you, and I'm going to conclude our call. Have a safe rest of your week, and we'll talk again next Tuesday. Thank you.